Something happened many years ago, about 150 years ago, to be precise, when someone actually said that, oh, the Lord is looking for just one man to use in order to bring revival to the world. And there and then, a man like D.L. Moody, who heard the message, decided to be the man to be sent to the world. He touched two continents, preached to as many as 100 million people, and the Lord God Almighty was celebrated in his life. Not so much schooled, for critics would come to him by saying that, oh, you have made so many mistakes in your sentence, in your sentence constructions. And lo and behold, you just say to them, but the Lord is making them to understand what they need to understand. Children of God, God wants to use you. The parable of the talent tells me one thing, that nobody is useless in the hands of God. The Lord knew that the man that was given one talent will waste it, but he gave him the opportunity. God wants you to prove yourself. One talent is all you need, not necessarily two or five. One. If the man had tried to use it and failed even to make money out of it, I believe that the Lord will have actually been so happy with him. A lot of us are folding our arms. I am very much in the belief that everybody who says he or she is a Christian must serve. We are saved to serve. And then some of us will think that, oh, we are nothing, we are nobody, only big shots, people of high classes, people who actually have everything that is actually required of a man to have. Those are the people that God will want to use. May I say to you this morning, you are not right. You are very, very wrong. The Bible tells us in many areas that the people God will actually want to use are the people who will make themselves available. Make yourself available. God is looking for men and women, boys and girls, that will be filled with the Holy Spirit and use to make a difference for Christ in our own world today. The passage read to us this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 38 to 51, we see this, the history. If I say story, to be as if it is really a fiction. No, it is a history of a man named David, who, by the grace of God, by his conviction in God, went and fought with a strong man, tall and trained as a warrior from his youth, to fight against that man. A young man, a youth, very fragile, yet the Lord used him. We have some lessons to learn from what actually happened in the time of David, as to why he was able to do what he did. And I believe that these few principles, basic principles, will help us even as we approach to be used by God in our time. God Almighty wants to use common people. people without any reputation, people that are unpopular, ordinary people, those that in the eyes of the world are a nobody. God is very much interested in using them. We see that in the chapter before the one that we read, chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, do you know that David, according to the history, the chronicle of what actually was written, David had been anointed as king over Israel by Samuel in chapter 16. But before then, Samuel the prophet, will have actually looked down on David, if even he was at home when he got there. Because as soon as he saw the first son of Jesse, guess what? He said, this is the man. This is the man. But the Lord God Almighty said something that is so wonderful in verse 17 of 1 Samuel 16. Verse 17. Do not look. Is it? 1 Samuel 16. Oh, 7. 7. Sorry. Verse 7. Verse 7. I'm sorry about that. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider the appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. David would have been disqualified. In fact, he was disqualified by Samuel. And when he had actually gone through, he had to ask Jesse, do you still have another son? Because the Lord sent me here. And I know that he did not make any mistake. Even Jesse had forgotten about David. Children of God, people may forget about you. They may look down upon you. They may actually even want to say, hey, you don't belong here. Let me tell you what, in as much as you know that you are a child of God, don't you be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't. We see also that Apostle Paul expressed the same thing in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. 1 Corinthians 1, 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are what? Mighty. Don't see yourself as a nobody. If you're God's child, you are somebody. Not somebody to be boasting about who you are, but somebody to actually glorify God. And that is what is needed for everyone who is a child of God. Then again, we see in the example of Moses. Do you know that sometimes we see ourselves and we say, oh, if that one can do it, I can do better. But may I say to you, it's a lie. It's a lie. When you see yourself as totally empty before God, God then fills you. Did Paul not say that it is in time of weakness that I gain strength? Huh? In times when I think I have nothing to say, and I open myself up to God, then God speaks through me. And what God says through me, guess what? Will become wonderful. Your ears and your heart will receive it. I may give a good speech and not say the will of God. I run away from it every time. Lord, not according to my preparation, but according to your will and glory, speak. And your children will hear. Children of God, don't ever say that you are unlearned. Don't ever say that I'm just a servant in my master's house. Don't ever, in any way or fashion, belittle yourself to the point that you say to yourself, according to what the world will say to you, truly, I am nothing. You remember the slave girl in the house of Naaman? Do you know that God used her for his glory? The girl said, there is a prophet in Samaria who actually will cure the leprosy in my master's body. And when the man was full of himself and would not want to go and wash in the Jordan River, who actually made him to say, look, if the prophet had told you to do something worse than that, wouldn't you actually think about it and do it? Are you not looking for healing? And by the words of the slave servant, slave girl, what happened? Naaman knew that there is a God who cures. God can send you to your master's house. The Lord can use you there in order to glorify himself. But few things again you need to know. The 12 disciples, when the people of in that days looked at them, what did they say concerning them? They saw that they were unschooled. Fishermen, tax collectors, what have you. And these are people that Jesus Christ brought to himself. Why did he bring them? And not people like Saul, who became Paul. There were many of them in his time. No. He chose these ones because he saw what God can do through them. And the Lord is seeing what he can do through you if you only yield yourself. The second thing that we noticed, which actually is a principle, is about the fact that David consecrated himself to God. Now, when we talk about consecration, we're talking about the fact that he knew the Lord. He knew the Lord to the point that he knew what the Lord God Almighty can do. He had actually given himself up to God in order for him, for God, to walk through him. He separated himself unto the Lord. As a shepherd boy, he had actually known the protection of God, the victories of God in many ways, that he penned down. Well, I know that it was actually attributed to David, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A declaration like that can come only from somebody who actually has intimate relationship with God. David had. In all this, in the passage read to us, you could see that the relationship was so close to the point that David could boast in the Lord. He had not gone to fight the war. You know, some of us will have actually won victory before we now, attribute something to God openly, but in our heart, we are saying that I did it. Before David went for the battle against Goliath, he had boasted in the Lord, in the camp. And guess what? Every utterance that David made came true. Do you know your God? Do you know the Lord that you have come to serve? You say that you are a Christian. Do you know Jesus? Do you really know Jesus? Has he any place in your heart? Has he any place in your home? Has he any place in your business? We see these things around in Nigeria, especially, where we have so many churches all around, and yet we are far from God. What is happening? It wasn't so with David. He knew his God. I would like for us to see what actually he said in Psalm 27, verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and inquire in his temple. What a wonderful thing. The desire of David had always been to the Lord, the man after God's own heart. Yes, he sinned. And every one of us sinned too. But that will never be taken away from him. Oh, that we worship God and know that we can boast concerning him. Then again, the third thing that we see is that David was committed. He was committed to God, to do that which God would send him to do. Children of God, when you are committed to God, there will be no space for fear to accomplish God's task. When you are committed to God, there will be no space for fear to accomplish God's task. We see David here, who actually was criticized by his own brothers. Do you know what the brothers said concerning him? Go and read. Go and read chapter 17. We know that you put your nose where it doesn't belong. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? You're this stubborn goat. They pushed him down. And then for him to have gone to Saul and say, that man, give him to me. Some would say that he's too mighty to actually fight. But I say to you, he's very huge that I cannot miss him. The thing about it is this. In spite of great challenges around David, he was not moved. He put on the armor of Saul. And guess what? He couldn't lift his feet. And he said, this is too heavy for me. I've never tried it. And took it off. I'll go and fight this man. Not me, but God. In fact, the Bible tells us that he saw the hefty man. I forgot the size of Goliath, according to the record that we have. I think it's about 11 feet something, whatever. The mightiness of Goliath did not even make him to be timid. The Bible says that he ran towards him. Some of us will have a tail in between our legs. I've made a mistake. No. Committed knowing fully well the force of God is pushing him. And by this, he did what he did, even to the glory of God. Same thing we can see concerning Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. We see these ones who really knew their God and they stood by what actually he wanted for them to do. Children of God, do you know that Jesus Christ has promised us something wonderful that we must not miss? He sent us out, making us to know that all power in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And he who is sending us says, lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. What are we to fear? What are we to fear? Satan will always be a loser. The children of God, we are too timid. We are too much afraid. We are too much in the habit of protecting ourselves, wanting to save our lives, contrary to the will of the Master, who says that whoever seeks to save his life shall lose it. But he who is willing to lose his life for my sake shall find it. The Bible tells me in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31b, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That is what is required of us. And that, I believe, we must not miss. Quickly, I want to ask a few questions, and I pray that you'll be able to really sincerely answer it individually in your heart. Are you courageous enough to accept to take risk for Jesus Christ? Can you take risk for Jesus Christ? I read a long time ago about some missionaries that came from all the way from America and went to India. And right there, about seven of them went. As soon as they landed and they went to the first village, they were all killed. The missionaries were killed. But guess what? Their wives were determined the death of our husbands will not be in vain. We are going to India. And they went to India, and the Lord did wonders in making the people to see the love of Christ. Then again, are you able to face ridicule on behalf of your Lord Jesus Christ? Risk ridicule. I came to a passage in the book of John. John chapter 6. Actually, John chapter 7, please. John chapter 7, verses 3 to 6. And I found something there that struck me, probably for the first time. I've read it before, but I never caught that aspect until the Lord revealed it to me. From verse 3, his brothers, whose brothers? Jesus' brothers, therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. You know what actually struck me? Jesus Christ was older than these people. The fact that he was older than them should actually bring about what? Some respect. But they happened to be the people making jest of him. It is not something that they were saying as if to say, this must be from the Lord, from God. It was as if, don't actually do magic, whatever you are doing here. Go to the world and show yourself there. Because they did not believe. They did not believe in him. Are you able to face ridicule because of Jesus? When you become a Christian in some families, you are thrown out. They make jest of you. Are you able? Are you willing to be rejected by your friends, families, and so on? Are you willing to attempt a service of a God and not mind to fail even in the task. I know this, children of God, that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. If I do a task for the Lord and I'm actually seen as a failure in it, guess what? At least I have tried. God knows I have tried. And I've done nothing but my best. In conclusion to this message, let me just say this. I read the story of a wonderful man of God who at first was very rebellious. The son of the great evangelist Billy Graham. Franklin was actually said to be very rebellious to the point that one day he did something nasty and the mother, Ruth, was so angry with him. She opened the bonnet of the car, threw him inside and locked him there. And when she got to a fast food restaurant, people were there. She opened the bonnet and said, "What would you like to eat?" And after he had given his orders, locked him there again, I went and bought it and gave it to him there. Franklin was a drunkard, a smoker. Oh, he loved to actually do anything in racing. The police chased him at the time that they chased him into his father's compound. Thank God he knew how to go home. If not, he would have locked him in his cell. He did everything that actually was doable by man to run away from God. But at 22, he met with the Lord. His conversion came. And at 40, he totally declared for the Lord that what he was running away from, the Lord God Almighty will not let go. I pray that the Lord will not let go of you. That the Lord God Almighty will actually make you to know that you are dear to him. He has a message to send through you. And that message must be carried out in his name for his glory. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?